Greetings, everyone. My name is William Porter. Welcome to this edition of Storytelling Time. This program is sponsored by Every Dot Black Entrepreneurs Network. Our foundation scripture today comes from James, the first chapter, the 13th and the 14th verses. Let no one say when he is tempted, "I am tempted by God." For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. The Storytelling Time program this week is the second story coming from chapter 6 entitled Sandra's Damascus Road Experience in the book Heaven Can't Wait or Can It? The sequel. The title of the program today is On Sandra's Recovery. Before we start with our story today, listen to the following suggestions on how to become a professional writer. It comes from a previous podcast. After this segment, we will start with our story for the week. This week, I want to focus on the third and fourth steps in the article. The third step is to work on your book every day. And that doesn't have to be a very long period of time. Maybe just a few minutes each day is enough to generate quite a bit of written material for you to review and assess. And it's very important to select a time when it is convenient for you to write. For me, early in the morning, before I get out of bed, is a good time to really focus on what I want to write about. The fourth step is to write in the same place every day. It doesn't matter whether it's at a desk, at a certain place in a restaurant, or on the kitchen table. Just keep it consistent every day. Setting not only the time you're going to write, but also the place where you're going to write will eliminate you having to think about these decisions and more time you can spend in thinking about what you're going to write about. Our story for the week will start after the following break. Stay with us. Welcome back. Over the next several days after Fred had returned to Chicago from his meeting in Minneapolis, Sandra was left in her hospital room to wonder what could have happened between her and Fred had she not been in the accident. Eventually, she returned home herself to Detroit, where the goal was to resume her rehab. During this time, Sandra also wanted to continue the unfinished business she had in Minneapolis prior to the accident, and that was to somehow be with Fred. Sandra still had her job at Faith Methodist, having taken over from her previous supervisor, Maggie, a while back. But just as Maggie trained Sandra before she left the position, Sandra did the same for her assistant after Maggie had departed. Fortunately for Sandra, her assistant was an able replacement for her while being away from the job stemming from the accident. Sandra was in a dark place where the accident nearly took her life and left her with a long period of rehab. That dark place included a lack of spiritual maturity, as evidenced by her continued interest in Fred. With Sandra's devious nature apparently unaffected by her misfortune, she planned to continue her pursuit of Fred, while gradually resuming her connections with Maggie's parents. She certainly had a conniving spirit, but her plans to be with Fred would have to be placed on hold for a few months during her physical therapy. Sandra's rehab involved being in a wheelchair to assist her mobility. Unlike Matthew, it would not be a permanent situation. She would walk, but only on a limited basis with crutches. Recuperating in her apartment, she believed that in a few weeks she would be back on the job at Faith Methodist. During the time of Sandra's rehab, she anticipated getting a lot of rest and watching TV. Sandra's friend, Missy, also would help her get established in her recovery efforts. Sandra could use all the help she could get while largely being confined to her apartment. About a week after returning home, Sandra was made aware of another condition brought on by the accident. She was only a few days back at her apartment when she started to feel severe cramping in her abdomen. Missy had visited Sandra the previous evening and said she would continue to assist her in her rehabilitation. Sandra's efforts on getting better had to do with her legs regaining the strength they had before the accident. She did not realize that the pain she had also was a result of the accident. The pain was so intense that she needed Missy's assistance more and more. Late one night, after a couple of weeks after her return home from Minneapolis, the pain that Sandra had was unbearable. So she gave Missy a call. Missy picked up the phone and answered, starting the conversation. Hello?
Hello, Menzie. This is Sandra. I hope you're fine.
Oh, hello, Sandra. I'm okay. But how are you doing?
Not too good, Menzie. I've been having these cramps in my stomach, and they are hurting me so bad. I feel like I need to go to the hospital to get things checked out.
Don't say another word, Sandra. I'll be right over to take you.
Oh, thank you so much, Menzie. I didn't want to inconvenience you.
Don't worry about that. You're not inconveniencing me. I'm just here with Matthew, but he can take care of himself. I'll be over within an hour. With that assurance from Missy, the conversation between her and Sandra ended. Missy began to prepare herself to make the one-hour trip to Sandra's apartment in Detroit in order to get her the medical attention she said she needed. Of course, Missy made sure that Matthew would be fine while she was away. She said to her husband, "Hey, Matthew, Sandra called and has a medical emergency. I'm going to take her to the hospital. I know it's late, but I think it's serious. Will you be okay here alone?" "Sure thing, Missy. I'll be fine. You just go and get Sandra straight," Matthew said back to her. With those words of encouragement from Matthew, soon Missy would take off for Detroit. Let's take a break and we'll be right back. Welcome back. Missy arrived at Sandra's apartment ready to take her to the Detroit hospital recommended by the doctor who had treated her after the accident back in Minneapolis. Sandra was almost ready to go when Missy arrived. Missy got out of her car and walked the short distance to Sandra's front door. She rang the front doorbell. Then Sandra answered.
"Hello, Menzie. Now that was quick."
"Hello, Sandra. As you can see, I'm here. It doesn't take very long to get here. Traffic was light at this late hour, and I was able to speed a little bit."
"Now, Menzie, I wouldn't want you to get a ticket, but thank you so much for helping me. Oh, just don't stand there. Come on in. This place is a mess, though, but I just haven't had a chance to clean up. Go ahead and sit down, and I won't be long before we can take off."
Thanks, Sandra. You always make me feel so welcome when I come over to your house. You know you've always been a good guest."
"Oh, Menzie, you always manage to make me feel so special. But it's only an apartment. I just look forward to the day when I'm able to get a house. Maybe not like what you and Matthew have, because you have such a nice place over there in Flint. I'll just be happy having a house of my very own. It's just me, you know, so a small one will do. But anyway, let me get a few items and I'll be ready. Oh, these cramps are acting up again.
Are you okay, Sandra?
I think I'm all right, Menzie. Like I told you on the phone, I've just been having these cramps in my stomach, and it hurts so bad. But at least it's not all the time. It kind of comes and goes. You know what I mean?
Not really. I've never really had that experience. But stay as strong as you can, Sandra. Anyway, once you're ready, we'll get to the hospital, and they'll be able to check you out. And listen, don't worry about your apartment being a mess. Just go ahead and get what you need, and I'll be right here when you're ready.
Okay, Menzie, I'll be right back.
Sandra did return, and they both were off to make the short trip to the hospital. Sandra took all the records she received back at the Minneapolis hospital when she was first treated after the accident. As they rode together on their way to the hospital at such a late hour, Sandra started to think about telling Missy that she had lied about having a sister in Minneapolis. But she decided not to do it. Her thoughts went from being truthful to Missy to where her focus was on the pain she had and to deal with it as soon as possible.
Well, I know I should fess up and tell Missy about my feelings for Fred, but I won't worry about that now. I'm in Detroit and Fred is in Chicago. I just need to see the doctor so I can learn what's wrong with me.
After a little while, Sandra left her own thoughts and asked Missy, who was continuing to drive to the hospital.
How far away are we, Menzie?
Don't worry, Sandra. We'll be there soon. I'd say in less than about 10 minutes. After Missy had answered Sandra's question, they soon arrived at the hospital. Sandra was so nervous. She thought about what the doctors would find out, what was bothering her. Before her current crisis, Sandra would not go to the doctor unless she absolutely had to. But now her pain was so intense that she had no choice. Sandra felt for the first time that someone other than herself would be in control of her future. In her estimation, that would be the doctors who would soon attend to her. Finally, they had arrived at the hospital. After formally being admitted, Sandra waited patiently sitting in the lobby with Missy by her side. Only a short time had elapsed when an attendant came to them and said, "Miss Hughes, we're ready for you. Just follow me." Sandra then said to her friend accompanying her,
"Menzie, I'll leave my purse with you and hopefully I'll be out soon."
"You go ahead, Sandra. I'm sure they'll take good care of you. And yeah, your purse will be fine right here." As Sandra was seen by the physician, Missy waited for her in the lounge area. Sandra went through a battery of tests, and after an extended period, the doctors finally came out to the reception area and approached Missy. She soon would leave an examination room later, after one of the doctors reviewed of the details of her condition with her friend, Missy. Let's take a break and we'll be right back. Welcome back. Before Missy would see Sandra again, an attendant came out the door. Missy assumed he was the doctor. "He sure looks like a doctor," she thought. It turned out it was the attending physician. The doctor, who was a short man with large, thick glasses and wearing a long white jacket holding an instrument of some sort in his hand, said to her,
"Miss Menzie, I presume?"
Yes, I'm Missy, Miss Hughes' caretaker."
"Well, I'm Dr. Thomas, one of the physicians attending to Miss Hughes."
Then the doctor responded to Missy by saying in a subdued manner and not being very encouraging,
"Well, then you're the one I need to give this information to. Miss Menzie, the news we have for you is not promising. Miss Hughes has an eroded liver, and she is in desperate need of a transplant. I have to tell you that Miss Hughes has a very serious condition. In fact, if she doesn't get a suitable replacement, she will be with us for less than 6 months. The problem is that it is documented that only 2% of the people in the world have the type of liver that would be a match for Miss Hughes, and the waiting list is very long.
Oh, my Lord! Are you sure of what you're saying, Doctor?
Yes, ma'am, I'm very sure. You see, I'm sad to say that the people we've treated with this condition, like Miss Hughes, they are no longer with us.
Oh, my Lord, Missy said for a second time. Those words from the physician cut like a knife. Missy was visibly shaken and continued to say, Oh, no, not Sandra. Then she began to tear up. The news the doctor gave Missy reminded her of her own battle with misfortune in the case of her husband Matthew, when the doctor gave her his grim prognosis as a result of his fall. But this was different because it involved not just the prospect of Sandra being disabled, like in the case of Matthew. It was a life or death situation that Sandra faced. She had the real possibility that her life would end soon, unless a miracle would take place. Yes, to Missy, Sandra's solution involved a life that she had grown to love. But according to the doctors, Sandra's life would be over in less than a year unless she got the transplant she so desperately needed. After a brief period of digesting what the doctor had told her, Missy said, Doc, just give me what our options are.
As I said, Miss Hughes has a condition where her liver is not functioning properly. Let me just say we can no longer help her here except to give her medication for the pain. She'll have to go to the University of Chicago Hospital to get on a donor list to find a suitable replacement liver, hopefully in a very short period of time. But as I said before, there's a long waiting list. In the meantime, her next of kin should be notified and given this information.
Then Missy replied, Okay, Doctor, I understand. But as I said, I'm only serving as her caretaker. And, Doctor, sometimes it takes years before a good match can be found. So, what could we do and what should we do in the interim? Again, the doctor's response was direct, without the compassion necessary to console Missy during her time of sadness about her friend's condition. He told her,
Well, the answer to that question, Miss, is in the form of another question, and that is, how is your prayer life? Because that's about the only thing that can save her at this point. That is, having some kind of miracle happening, yeah, divine intervention of some sort, but you look like the religious type.
The doctor responded to Missy in a somewhat mocking manner. He didn't give Missy a great deal of hope for Sandra's recovery in the natural. Before they ended their conversation, the doctor said,
Oh, before I leave, let me say that I've communicated most of the details to Miss Hughes to spare you that responsibility.
Okay, I understand, Doctor. Like I said, I'm only her caretaker, unrelated to her.
Okay, then I understand, but keep this in mind. She's in a very depressed state right now, and she doesn't seem to be positive about her situation, which is certainly understandable. We've given her some medication to deal with the pain, but she'll need all the help from you and from others that she can get. And as I said, if you believe in miracles, she certainly needs one right about now. By the way, Miss Hughes will be out shortly after she fills out a few forms. Oh, Jesus, gotta run and make this other appointment I have. Can you believe it at this time of night?
After the doctor questioning himself about a late appointment, he and Missy parted ways. Let's take another break. We'll be right back to finish the story and to close the show. Stay with us. Welcome back. It was some devastating news that the doctor had delivered to both Sandra and Missy. Given Sandra's family history that she had told Missy about earlier, the sister she claimed to have in Minneapolis, was the only relative close by who might be responsible for her care. At least, that's what Missy thought. Sandra had yet to tell Missy that it was all false about her having a sister in that city. Sandra came out of the office being assisted by another attendant. The best the attendant could do was to keep Sandra upright from collapsing right there on the floor. Then Missy took over and helped Sandra to her car. "Thank you, sir," she told the attendant. Then Missy said to Sandra, while she was crying profusely, "Everything will be all right, honey. Come on now. Cheer up a little, and I'll help you get into the car. I was able to move it to the front while you were finishing up." As Missy and Sandra left the doctor's office, Missy tried to comfort Sandra in her time of distress. "Sandra, the doctor told me just about everything. Now, you're going to have to keep the faith if you want to overcome this thing that you have," Missy said, trying to encourage Sandra. But at the time, Sandra didn't have what Missy said that she needed to overcome what she had. And that was an overcoming faith. Sandra said simply,
Oh, Mincy.
No, Sandra did not have the kind of faith that would allow God to work a miracle in her life. At least, not at this time. No, she didn't have the kind of faith that would lead to a miracle that the doctor said was her only hope. While Sandra's faith was low, nearly non-existent, the scripture does say that only a mustard seed of faith is needed to move a mountain. And Sandra certainly had a mountain in her life to be moved. A mountain resulting from a poor health diagnosis that could end her life. Missy and Sandra were now on their way back to her apartment. Unlike when they came to the hospital, the traffic now had died down, and it was a smooth drive back to Sandra's home. Still being distraught about her situation, Sandra didn't say much during the drive. Then, suddenly, she said to Missy, expressing her innermost feelings,
"Oh, Missy, I am so afraid. You're so active in the church. Please pray for me."
"I will do that," Missy replied to Sandra's request. Eventually, Sandra returned to her apartment, and Missy promised to check on her every day. In the back of her mind, Sandra had other plans to deal with her situation. She just wanted to get away for a while and think about her life and how to get over what she had. Sandra said to Missy just before getting out of the car,
"Thank you so much, Missy, for everything. I don't know what I'd do without you. You know, I'd do almost anything to get rid of the illness that I have."
Then Missy replied, "And I'll support you all the way, honey. Come on, and I'll walk you back inside." With those words, Missy and Sandra got out of the car. It was a short walk back to Sandra's apartment. The hectic sound of city street noise had given way to the quietness that surrounded Sandra's neighborhood at such a late hour. As they were walking, Missy tried to lift Sandra's spirits as much as possible. She said to her, with Sandra listening but offering no response, "You know, Sandra, you'll be fine. Something deep inside of me is telling me this. The quietness of the night sometimes allows us to think and to better connect with God. And it's so important to think positive. Well, we're almost there at your front door. It's only a few more steps." Soon, both Missy and Sandra were back at the apartment. Missy would stay with Sandra a while before heading back to her home in Flint. She wanted to get back home before it got any later. As Missy left Sandra standing at her front door, she said to her, "Bye, Sandra, and remember, I'll be praying for you." Again, with no verbal response, Sandra just stood there at the door, stared at her friend with a sad expression, and waved. The kind of wave that was only a weak gesture, like almost as if Sandra didn't want Missy to go. But both she and Missy knew she had to get back. And that's when Missy drove off. With much prayer in coming days and weeks, Sandra might allow that mustard seed of faith that she had to move the mountain in her life, that mountain being her life-threatening illness. Missy, for one, would be there for her. Well, that's all for today. In closing, I'd like to say, and would like you to remember, whatever you may be going through, whether good or bad, such as the situation that Sandra is in our story, just keep in mind that there's always more good things coming your way. We'll see you the next time.